So for entrepreneurs and those in the startup phase, the most important hire to me was my personal assistant. And I was getting, as I was trying to grow a company and reach to the next step and what's the next phase to get to and how can we get there, I found myself getting pulled back to, there's this email to respond to and this call to schedule. And I was spending a lot of time doing different tasks that needed to be done. But because my time was going there, I wasn't building our brand more or focused on our, how are we going to close the next deal? A personal assistant is essential to removing some of those important things that need to get done, but they're not moving, they're not leveling up the bar. They're tasks that must happen for the business to function.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. In this episode, we get to speak with Matthew Pazon. Matt and his wife, Anna, buy, renovate, and hold single-family and small multifamily properties for the long term in the greater Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania region. They have three children under 3 years of age. Matt worked for 12 years as a chemical engineer before a recent career change to full-time real estate investing. He completed his master's in international management at IE Business School in Madrid, Spain, as a Fulbright Scholar in 2013. Since 2014, he and his wife have been buying and operating rental properties, primarily in Allentown, PA. Outside of investing, Matt enjoys maintaining his Spanish language skills, spending time with family, and playing the guitar and violin. Discover his strategies, challenges, and insights on building a successful real estate business.
Today I've got Matt Pazon. Did I say that correctly, Matt?
That's right, Pazon. Yes.
Pazon. Matt, so excited to have you here. I can't wait to dig into how you got to where you are today. You and your wife, we were just talking in the green room. You've got three kids under three, which is like mind-blowing for me. I mean, I have four kids, but they're spread out from 12-year-old to 1-year-old, which is it's a little more manageable, but what you're doing is so amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it happened fast, like you said. So we have an almost 2.5-year-old, and then we have twins, actually, that are 4 months at 4.5 months. So
yeah,
there's a lot going on at home, but it's a blessing. We love it.
Amen, man. Amen. 5 years down the road, you're going to be like, this is pretty good, because they're all going to bed by themselves. You got that your time back with the wife, and you guys can do more things together. Like my wife and I were like, hey, one of the kids going to sleep. We got still one more to put to sleep, but it's fun, man. Let's jump into the episode and let's jump into how you got here. So you've been a chemical engineer for 12 years, which is, number one, that's a lot of fun because chemistry is powerful. Chemistry is really it's the meaning of life. We just watched a show called Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV Plus, and it just blew my mind how cool it was.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was a great career path so far. And when I went to college, I studied chemical engineering and Spanish. And I'm from a long line of engineers in my family. And it was a very rewarding career. I worked for a large industrial gas company. We provided oxygen during the COVID pandemic to hospitals. Nice. And we supply all different types of manufacturing companies. So those products touch every thing that we do in our day-to-day. So I felt like that work was making an impact, but it wasn't providing the financial return on time. And I had always been driven to succeed, and I was capped. And I was capped in my income where I could rise to. And so that's when I started transitioning to real estate about 10 years ago in the making. That was my side hustle.
Dude, that's so cool. Going and realizing, hey, this is not enough, but there are other opportunities. Where can we go and spend our money and divvy up the revenues of the income revenues? Sorry, am I saying correctly? Multiple sources of revenue. So you're divvying up and bringing in multiple revenues of income.
Yeah, that's right. So I actually, what I did was I had my main job and my goal was to do a good job there, get bonuses and have good performance, and then reduce my expenses as much as possible. Everything that was left that I could save, I put into real estate.
Yeah.
And so when I started, I was living in a friend's basement. I had student loans and I was eating ramen noodles, rice and beans, really trying to grind, cut my costs so I could save up for down payments on rental properties.
Yeah.
So that was how I got started. I wanted to get out of debt and buy rental properties. And you're right. Over time, those rental properties produced more residual income. It's commonly said that it's passive income. It's not really passive.
It's not.
It's a business.
that
was my goal. Just build, buy as many properties as I could to get that passive income in quotes and replace my job income.
No, it's almost directly out of the book from Cashflow Quadrant or Rich Dad Poor Dad. He talks about real estate. In fact, that's the first thing that you learn as you're playing the board game Cashflow, but you've got to match. You've got to bring in enough passive income, quote unquote, from other sources that can replace your expenses so that you're not no longer dependent on your full-time job.
That's right. And I played that game probably, 30 to 50 times with my dad, my brother, my family. And I really latched onto it. I've read all of Robert's books and that Rich Dad, Poor Dad was the model of what I wanted to do. I wanted to replace my W-2 job with passive income.
Yeah. No, man, that's so cool to hear that you're like, yes, I definitely followed through the book's teachings. And that those books have been around for a couple of decades, maybe even more.
That's right. And some of the criticism of the books is that it's not as the philosophy is great or the theory is great, but how do I do that? And so once I understood this is the path I wanted to take, I needed to dive into the how and what do I need to do. And that's when I started double hatting and buying properties on the side, going out and seeing rental properties and really going all in on my side hustle. It was a hobby turned side hustle.
That's so cool. So we just got a little preview of how you went from taking your full-time job and then adding in the side hustle of investing into properties, investing into rental properties, investing into places that would then start bringing your revenue back for you so that you can quit that industrial job, quit that chemical engineering job, but still apply the passion, the technology that you learn in this as well. Because again, no matter which business, you got to put in all of your brain, you got to put in all of the efforts and all of the learnings from all the other people that are succeeding in that space.
That's right. So my main job was what paid the bills and provided the cash for down payments on rentals. But all of my free time, my free resources, everything that I could do and working through other people, realtors to find deals, I was taking calls in conference rooms, folks at work talking about the latest football game or whatever while I was talking with motivated sellers.
Yeah.
And so it was exciting to really start double hatting and pursuing my real estate business instead of just focusing on the W-2.
Now talk to me about when you were growing up, talk to me about some of the influences your parents or some of the influences your siblings brought into you to say, hey, this is the path I'm going to initiate to get out of this rat race.
Sure. The influences that I had growing up, and no judgment either way, but it was really money was a lack, a barrier that, I couldn't go to summer camp because we didn't have the money, or I couldn't do certain things because we didn't have the money for that. And in fairness, there were a lot of kids. My parents had divorced when I was young. And so there were a lot of mouths to feed and not as many resources to go around. And as a parent now, I understand that. So it's no judgment. It's just that money was a barrier. And so I was looking to not have financial reasons as a barrier for my future family. And so I realized from a younger age that I needed to think differently. And I thought that chemical engineering was a way to get a higher paying job, which it is. But I also found that it wasn't the way to wealth. And so that's why I started buying rental properties. And I'm glad I had that foresight from a younger age, because after 12 years in the business, I can say that it certainly helped me do okay financially, but I wasn't building true generational wealth like I had aspired to do. And so that's where the real estate came in.
Matt, what you mentioned about chemical engineering to a higher paying job, that three-letter word, it's still a job. You still need to show up a 9-to-5 to a place to then get paid for those hours. You're exchanging hours for money, as opposed to here, you're exchanging money for property, money for so much more. And it, I think there's a multiples of return as well.
That's absolutely true, because the phase one of the entrepreneur's journey, or really the employee's journey, is just exchanging your time for money. And then after that, it's exchanging money for, so you're paying others and they're bringing, so right now I have my team, so I'm paying them money, but they're bringing me properties. Mm-hmm. So it's exchanging money for deals. And then eventually the third phase would be just exchanging money to get more money. It's becomes like a wealth fund, a private REIT or a home office. And I recognize that the path to wealth was not in the job itself, but in creating a business, creating a brand, purchasing real estate and operating it. And so that's what I knew that I needed to pursue long term.
Yeah.
The job was a means to get there. I was able to get great bank financing. I was able to cash out refinance properties because I had that job, but I knew that there was a limited runway left. The opportunity cost was too high to remain.
Yeah, you're so true. And it's almost like when you start a new business, you need to find funding. And the job is that funder. They are the investor in your side hustle, because either they approve it or don't approve of it. It's something that they're paying you for your time, but then you being the smart person, being the analytical person, okay, how can I maximize my time and maximize the funding that I'm getting right now to build this business? I love it, man. So talk to us about how you work with other people and where is it that you're taking your business, and let's say in the next 5 years, and if somebody was to come work with you, what does that look like?
Absolutely. So I'll preface the answer with, I've been working and side hustling for 10 years in the real estate business. So what I'm about to say for startups and things and where we're going is with the backdrop and foundation of 10 years of experience. Mm-hmm. I started up the deal finding arm of Pizon Properties last year. And it was, I guess technically it was September 2022 to really formalize what I was doing. And so right now, there are 8 employees of the company. Most are actually in the Philippines, but I have 2 local folks and a part-time person here in the States. Mm-hmm. And we've built out our branding, website, SEO. We do Google Ads and other things. So over the last year, we've built the infrastructure and we've built our processes and procedures. And I've invested heavily in those things, in our recruiting, our HR, all the aspects of the company that I learned while being a chemical engineer for a large multinational company. So we've built that foundation. Now, over the next 5 years, we're going to really ramp up our marketing, start doing TV. Now that we see our lead flows, we have everything built out in Salesforce from the top end of the funnel to close deals at the bottom. And now we're going to ramp up. And at the same time, I'd like to be finding larger deals and have my team finding single family, small multifamilies. But I'm going to be starting another arm, which is the larger multifamilies, 30 units and up, over the next 5 years, where we're really buying bigger deals while my team is focused on the core of our business, which is the single and small multifamily properties. But we can't scale up without having the foundation in place, systems, processes, people, and finances. I'm excited for the next 5 years.
Dude, that's so cool. And I'm excited for your next 5 years. It looks like a really well thought out plan, and you'll have more help along the way as you grow that company with your little 3 children, and you're teaching them the power of investing, the power of building multi-generational wealth, as well as business languages and business acumen. Because again, it's from our parents that we learn some of these amazing things. For example, some of the people that I hear, like, they're already investing in these properties is because either they've had the foresight to do that, for example, like yourself, or they've had their parents that have been in entrepreneurs, that have been in business, and they're teaching that right down the line. If you see some of the people that are creating YouTube content and they're in their 20s or whatever, you'll see that they have people or their parents ahead of them that have been doing it in the same space. Same thing with the actors. It's almost, whoa, people find it really interesting, but it's not that rocket science where you figure out, oh my God, that makes so much sense. So I always want to see what's happening in the background, what's happening in the past, because the past tells a story where the future is going to go on top of what the person in that role is making decisions and going forward and doing that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And one of the big motivators for me was that my first boss out of college told me I was the worst employee he ever had and the company should fire me. And so I realized from a young age that I needed to make my own way. And I was scared out of my mind because I had $50,000 of chemical engineering student loan debt and other things. And I knew that I needed to find another way eventually. Some of the past really does propel us forward. And some people get hung up on it, but others make their way. And I hope to teach my children as well about real estate investing. Yep.
So let's turn the heads and say there's a few people looking for investments. How do you work with people that are just entering into this space? Like, how do you work with people, or do you work with people at all in that space? What's the goal?
Right. So most of the time we purchase the properties and keep them in our portfolio, my wife and I, through our team. However, one of the things that we do for philanthropy is we teach in downtown Allentown, folks that live there and the surrounding communities that historically would have been excluded from real estate ownership due to demographic or other reasons, the color of their skin, whatever, that how to invest in real estate and really break down those barriers and solve the wealth gap problem in the US through real estate investing. So that's one thing that I am very passionate about for philanthropy. I do credit counseling and coaching there. But on the business side, we usually don't turn around and resell properties to others, or I don't have a coaching program yet. It's more just philanthropy right now, but it's a huge passion project for me because I've seen the power of what real estate ownership can do. And a lot of communities don't have the historic education or don't know how real estate can become attainable. So I give that away, and I try to give away the knowledge and my network to help other students who historically wouldn't have been able to access real estate to access it. So it's a huge passion project of mine.
Dude, I totally love that, because when you show up selflessly like that and give away all your knowledge, the only thing that you're doing, you're building not only your brand, but you're also helping the community and helping the people rise up. There's so much more energy when you have people working together as opposed to dog-eat-dog world. It's not that at all. It's more of a collaborative world where people should be working together more than anything else at all. Dude, this has been a lot of fun for sure. What are some of the things that people can take action on? For example, the education that you're teaching, what are some of the things people can start doing to get better educated in real estate investment?
So real estate is one of these things, and rental property ownership, that sounds really cool. It's exciting. People notice HGTV, a lot of these renovation shows, and there's a lot of interest. And what I tell folks is that really before purchasing rental properties, there's many things to do before that. Number one is start with yourselves as the listeners. So what's my current financial situation, my income, expenses, my credit score? How do I maximize my income, minimize my expenses, and increase my credit score? That's the basis, because this industry is built on loans and debt. So you have to prove to the lender that you're bankable. And those three things, income, reduce expense, and your credit score, are just fundamental. So start there. And then it's your investment philosophy. That's next. Do you want to do residential homes, commercial homes, mobile homes, modular homes? Do you want to buy and hold? Do you want to flip? What do you want to do and why? What are your skills? And then next, where's your market and why? Maybe it's around where you live, but maybe it's not. And then next, who's your team? So who's your contractor, realtor, banker, insurance agent? And then after all those things, then which is the property that you want to buy? So many people want to go right to buy the property and they forget all those steps beforehand. So the property is like the fifth or sixth thing you need to find. That's always my advice. Start with yourself. Get bankable, find your team, find your market, your philosophy for investing, then find the right property to fit all those criteria.
Man, you've already given us the three hacks and we haven't even stepped into the three hacks, basically. But I totally love it. Michael, where are some of the places that you would recommend they go to start learning? I know there's sites like Credit Karma, there's sites like what's Dr. Oz. There's so many different solutions. Ramsey, there's the Profit First. There's so many different places you can learn about lots of different financial things, but specifically in real estate investments, where do you recommend and where do you consume your information?
Since you mentioned Profit First, I just did a recording yesterday with David Richter. So nice. I would recommend Profit First. I've implemented his system and Michael McAllowitz, definitely great folks. Yeah. But then just from the beginning too, you mentioned Credit Karma, Bankrate has a bunch of stuff, and really just getting your, I use Mint, but that's now for budgeting, but that migrated to Credit Karma, I think a couple of months ago. So all those things, and just, but more than the specific resource, making a decision and saying, I'm going to do this, deciding, and then taking action, because I could list off all the resources, but right, if someone doesn't decide and say, I'm going to do this at all costs, they'll run into a roadblock and quit, right? All those things are good resources, but starting with the determination and the drive, stop at nothing mentality, that will get you further than any one resource. But all of those are valid resources.
I love it, man. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, you can share three hacks that the audience, the listener, can take on and apply them to their lives so that they can start moving in the direction of becoming an investor.
Sure thing.
Finding the right guest or podcast can feel like searching for a needle in a haystack, unless you bring a magnet. And thanks to PodMatch, a service that automatically attracts your ideal interview guests to your podcast. I've enjoyed using PodMatch for Hacks and Hobbies and interviewed over 100 fantastic guests from this platform alone. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/PodMatch to save time and find your perfect match. Check out PodMatch today. Again, go to hacksandhobbies.com/PodMatch or tap on the link in the show notes.
Hey guys, welcome back to the episode. We've been talking to Matt Paison, and he's shared a lot of his journey, shared a lot of how he went from being a chemical engineer to a full-time real estate investor with owning multiple properties, having a team of ten people?
That's right, 8 employees, yeah.
Team of 8 people that are working with him to make sure that they create this generational wealth for his 3 kids, for his wife, for his family, and teaching and bringing that knowledge to the wider audience as well in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He's generous enough here to also share 3 specific hacks that he implements in his own life and how you can also implement as well. So take it away, Matthew.
Sure. So number one, I'd have to say is, so for entrepreneurs and those in the startup phase, the most important hire to me was my personal assistant. And I was getting, as I was trying to grow a company and reach to the next step and what's the next phase to get to and how can we get there, I found myself getting pulled back to, there's this email to respond to and this call to schedule. And I was spending a lot of time doing different tasks that needed to be done. But because my time was going there, I wasn't building our brand more or focused on our, how are we going to close the next deal? A personal assistant is essential to removing some of those important things that need to get done, but they're not moving, they're not leveling up the bar. They're tasks that must happen for the business to function.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, for me as a new father, so many of the listeners may have families, but I'm trying to just, when I shut down for the day, and I'm not perfect at it yet, it's one of my New Year's resolutions, but I'm trying to put my phone in a drawer because there's always another IM,
yeah.
There's always another email, and those things aren't urgent to that the company will shut down, but I found myself getting drawn back in. So that's hack number two, is for work-life balance. When you're in business, be in business. When you're in family time, be in family time, and don't mix the two. And I'm saying this more for myself, not as an expert totally, but it's something I have to do better at. And I'm trying this year. So
I love it. I love it. Yep. That man.
And should I go to number three?
Or did you want to comment? Number three.
Sure. Number three is being crystal clear with your teams as you're growing a business. Have a written rule book almost, or a playbook for here's how this task is done for this role. Write it out, record a video of you doing it, and then include a timeline of when things need to be done and define what done means. So those four things, because I found that I was training people over and over on the same thing. And it almost goes back to the personal assistant number one thing, where I was sending the same type of emails to schedule things. When I was having the training conversations over and over, I realized I need to record things and then have the employee create the procedure, because authorship is ownership. So really build out processes and procedures, make sure everyone is on the same page and they know how to do their responsibilities. And anything that you do, record yourself doing it so that you can hand it off. Otherwise, you can never be free in business and you're always going to have to do the tasks. And I was selfish. I thought that only I could do these things and that I was the best and no one could do it like me. And it's just not true. I had to overcome that mental block. So that's number three. Record everything, write it down, build playbooks.
Dude, I love that so much. That is absolutely what I do as well. The last hack, all three hacks are absolutely amazing. Find somebody that can take over the day-to-day business, right? Number two, be business mode. But when it's family time, it's family time. Like, I have that rule, 5 o'clock or bust, I'm out of this office. I'm not coming back in till the next day. And it's so hard. Like, in the beginning, it was so much easier, but now I'm doing so many more different things. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to do that one thing. And then based on what's happening in life as well, there's different times of the day that you have to take care of your kids. Take care of you, put your kids to sleep, blah, blah, blah. But then you're also coming back and not able to spend that daytime at the work. Then now you're, now I'm like, okay, I need to spend some more time at work at nighttime to catch up. But that never, because I've already trained myself, it's so much harder to do that, that I need to put in new times in my calendar to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do at this time. And number three, absolutely. If we give the authority, if we give the responsibility to our teammates to get something done, boom, they will get done. And with a little bit of guidance, they can probably do it better than what we can, because that's the one task they're focused on. And we don't have to worry about that because we have so many different things that we're focusing on. So absolute, absolute great tips for sure.
Thank you. And I've just found it. Three and two are connected, because if I'm having to take time away from the family to do certain tasks, then that means either that the team is understaffed, there's a training issue, there's a process issue, or something else. Because if we're trying to grow and I need to take time away from the family and now I'm working 11, 12 hours a day, there's something wrong with the business itself. And my family shouldn't have to suffer the cost. Absolutely. Of that misplanning. So it's, and I'm saying this more to myself, I'm not perfect, but it's something I'm really focusing on this year.
Absolutely, man. I love that. Thanks for sharing.
100%. Right,
let's jump into the last segment of the episode. These are the rapid fire questions that I'll have to ask my guest. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
That I wish I got into? I have a lot of hobbies. I don't have one that I wish I got into, because I play multiple instruments and speak Spanish, but I wish that I would have done a better job of maintaining some of those things and spending more time just keeping up with my Spanish language. It's still very good, but it's more of, I already have lots of hobbies. So just investing more time in the ones I already have.
That's amazing. Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
So the first thing I wanted to be as a child, actually, I love the garbage men running around our street collecting the garbage. So that was my first thing. And then I wanted to be a carpenter because they were building some new houses near us. But once I got to high school, it was really that chemical engineer role that I wanted to take. I was always good at math, science, and chemistry. And so I wanted to use math and science to solve problems. So that was my more grown-up career choice. And now I want to buy rental properties.
I love it, man. I love it. Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
So I don't spend a lot of time watching movies or TV, but I have to say that I really do some of the classic like holiday movies, like Home Alone, stuff like that. I love watching those and the family time. It brings everyone together. So I'm going to go with...
Nice. That's an awesome a movie for sure. Next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Oh, man, that's a good one. So growing up, I love Disney movies and I still do. We watch them with the kids. I would have to be Aladdin. That's just, that would be who I would love to be because it's just a great story. Started from nothing and all of a sudden became he's with the princess, right? So
That's right. Yeah.
He had a genie. What else could you want? Three wishes, right?
Amen. Absolutely. But it was his heart, the princess, more than anything.
That's right. Yeah, that's who he was on the inside. And when he deviated from that, we got off track. But then when he found himself again, everything worked out. So I think it's a great story.
It is. It's not so absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and who wouldn't want a magic carpet and a
hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Oh, that's a good question. I have to go with Batman because I read my son a Batman book every night before bed. He always picks it out. So it's a hot book in our house right now. So I just like how he gets it done. He helps people out. He's got a fast car and he cleans up messes. So that's what he does. He takes care of the bad guys.
He's the cleaner. He definitely is.
Yeah, and it teaches my son about good messaging and cleaning up his toys.
Hey, that's a good one. Last up, if you were a board game, what would it be?
Oh man, we already spoke to it earlier in the show, but I'd have to be cash flow. I love either that or Monopoly. I think it teaches good lessons and good principles and how to have fun while learn and learn about wealth and money. So I would have to choose Monopoly and cash flow.
No. If you were to, on the cash flow board game, so there's, once you leave the rat race, they got all of these evergreen dreams or whatever. Which one did you pick most of the times?
So I usually liked, they had different businesses, but I, as far as like my dream thing in getting out of the rat race, I loved I forget what it cost, but it was like the $20,000 or $50,000 African safari or something like that. Because I had always, my dream and why I was side hustling was I wanted to quit my job in my 30s and travel the world with my girlfriend at the time, now my wife. And we were able to move on from the job part, but now we have three kids under three. So eventually someday we'll do this African safari, hopefully with the kids.
Man.
But that dream is like hanging out there. Okay, we're not taking 4 months old to Kenya right now, yet now. But that's the dream that we, you know, hopefully sometime we'll do. And first steps first, let's go to Disney World or something, travel around the world at Epcot, right?
100%, man. I love that. This was so much fun, Matthew. Thank you so much again for your time, your energy, your wisdom, and the hacks that you've shared with the audience today. And
thank you for having me, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Of course, man. Matthew, where can people find you?
Sure. They can find me on my company's website, peasonproperties.com. There's a form there they can submit, and I'm happy to connect, talk real estate. It's my passion, and I love to help people.
Awesome, man. Thank you again, and until the next time, we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thanks again.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.